Whether to buy a house or go to college are major financial decisions, but so is deciding when to take Social Security. Hi, I'm Rob West. It's true, tens of thousands of dollars, if not more, are on the line when deciding when to start taking Social Security benefits. Eddie Holland joins us today to help make the decision easier. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance Live, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, we're excited to have Eddie Holland with us today. Eddie's a senior private wealth advisor and partner of Blue Trust in Greenville, South Carolina. He's also a CPA, a certified financial planner, and a certified kingdom advisor. So I guess a triple threat, you might say. Let me also say Eddie is going to stick with us throughout the broadcast today because we get so many questions on this topic. He's ready to tackle your specific Social Security questions. So we'd love to hear those Social Security questions from you when you call 800-525-7000. In fact, you can begin calling now at 800-525-7000. Again, questions on Social Security specifically today. Eddie, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
Absolutely. Eddie, we usually advise folks to put off taking Social Security benefits at least till full retirement age, which, as you know, is either 66 or 67. Now, we realize this isn't always the best for everyone. So why don't we begin today with what you might counsel our listeners regarding when to make this decision?
Sure. And I think in order to make the proper decision, Rob, we all have to have an understanding or a groundwork or foundation of what the person's eligible to receive, what the rules of Social Security are. So if I could just take a couple of minutes and make sure that we're all kind of working off the same framework.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned, full retirement age is based on the year that you were born. If we're talking about your own benefit or a spousal benefit, the earliest that you can begin drawing is age 62. However, you're subject to a reduction if you draw prior to your full retirement age. Now, for a survivor benefit, the first eligibility that you have is age 60, which is different than your own or a spousal benefit. Again, if you take it prior to full retirement age, you're going to be subject to a reduction. Now, if you delay past your full retirement age, then you receive what Social Security calls a delayed retirement credit. That amount is equal to 8% per year or 2/3 of 1% per month. And that calculation is made on a monthly basis. So if you only delay for 6 months past your full retirement age, you get half of 8% or 4%. So some people don't understand that it's not an annual calculation, it's a monthly calculation. So those are some foundational core components to make sure that we're all on the same understanding.
Yeah.
Now, to answer your question specifically, what should folks consider? Well, obviously cash needs are a big component. If someone retires, even if they're prior to their full retirement age and they have cash needs, they may elect to start drawing Social Security. If they were diagnosed with a terminal illness and it doesn't look like that longevity is in the cards for them, they may elect to start drawing it earlier as opposed to delaying. However, if they, on the other end of the spectrum, if they expect to live as old as Methuselah and decide, hey, I want to delay until the latest possible time, the latest possible time to delay is age 70, meaning you derive no additional delayed retirement credits past the age of 70. We've talked about many times before in the past when we teach these seminars here in the upstate of South Carolina, taxes are a big component. Taxes have to be considered. Most states don't tax Social Security, but the federal government does. So we've counseled several clients that maybe have worked half of a year or have received a severance, maybe it would be better to delay Social Security until the next calendar year so that you're in a lower tax bracket. So another consideration to factor in.
Yeah. Boy, that's really helpful, Eddie. I mean, there's so many pieces here. Have you run the calculation? I mean, I've heard 12 years, but I'm wondering what your thoughts are on how long you would have to live beyond age 70 in order to make up what you didn't receive between full retirement age and 70 in the form of a higher check. So you're in the money, if you will, the rest of your life. What is that break even?
Yeah, it varies by person, and obviously there's a lot of components to consider, but I would agree with you. I would say late 70s to early 80s tends to be about the break-even for most people.
All right.
Now, a lot of folks take it early, even if they don't need it. Some of it may be education. Another factor may be that they're just worried Social Security is going to run out of money. And that's true. That could happen. In fact, it's on course to do that. We'll talk about that. Plus, your questions on Social Security right around the corner. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
The opinions offered during this program represent the personal or professional opinions of the participants, given for informational purposes only. Any information provided is not intended to replace advice from a financial, medical, legal, or other professional who understands your specific situation.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance Live here on Moody Radio, helping you see God as your ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Today, we're talking about a specific aspect of managing God's money, and that is Social Security. We've brought in the big brain today. Eddie Holland is here. He's a senior private wealth advisor and partner of Blue Trust. That's formerly Ron Blue Trust, as in Ron Blue, one of our frequent contributors here. Eddie's based out of Greenville, South Carolina. He's a CPA, a CFP, that's a certified financial planner, and a certified kingdom advisor. And we're taking your questions today specifically on Social Security. So if you have a question, feel free to call right now. Just a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000. Eddie, before we dive into those, a question we get very often is just related to, first of all, how much can I work without my benefits being reduced if I take my Social Security benefits before full retirement age? Will you clarify that for us?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So as you mentioned, the delineation is the full retirement age. So anybody that is still working, and this is somebody who is either self-employed or working for an employer, this is not passive income, IRA distributions, any of that. This is just earned income. If you're younger than full retirement age and drawing a Social Security benefit, you could be subject to a reduction, an earnings test reduction, if you make more than $22,320. That's based on 2024 figures. That's indexed for inflation. So that number's gone up the last several years. And the reduction, Rob, is $1 for every $2 over that threshold. So if your benefit is $1,000, you're way over the $22,320 threshold, then your benefit is reduced $1 for every two. That's under full retirement age. Now, the year in which you reach full retirement age, the threshold goes up and the reduction goes down. The threshold moves up to $59,520 for the year, and the reduction is $1 for every $3 over that threshold. And then once you reach your full retirement age, then there is no earnings test limit.
Okay. Yeah, very good. What about somebody who's earning a pretty substantial income, Eddie? Let's say they're making a couple hundred thousand dollars a year. I realize that's a high income, but just for the sake of our situation here, how is that factored in during the months leading up prior to taking their benefit? Do they just prorate that from the day you reach full retirement age forward, or how does that work?
Yeah, so your Social Security benefits actually get reset and readjusted, reanalyzed every year. So every year that you actually pay into the Social Security system, that goes into your, what they call your earnings history. Social Security takes the highest 35 years of earnings history. So if you have income that you that's higher than one of the top 35 years from previous working history, then it replaces one of those top 35. Everything else readjusts, then your benefit is recalculated. So in theory, January of the following year, you would have an adjustment that would recognize the $200,000 that you made the previous year, and your benefit would go up.
Okay. So a couple of ways, actually three ways, if I'm thinking about this correctly, you could see your benefits grow. One is a cost of living adjustment. You don't have to do anything to get that one. You're going to get it automatically. Second is you delay taking benefits beyond full retirement age, and your benefits are going to grow up to age 70, two-thirds of 1% every month, or 8% a year. And then the third way is, you know, regardless of whether you're taking benefits or not, anytime you're working and your income is beyond one of your high 35 years of earnings, it's going to replace the lower amount, and that's going to increase your benefit. Am I right on those three ways?
Yes, you are. Precisely.
Okay. Yeah, very good. All right, let's dive into some questions today. Eddie Holland with us today of Blue Trust. We're talking Social Security. Let's go to Akron, Ohio, WCRF. Hi, Dee, go ahead.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I am calling. I am a 60-year-old woman, and my husband passed away about 11 years ago. And I know that there is a widower's Social Security benefit that I could get at 60. My question is, my maturity date for Social Security is 67 and a half. If I take his early, can I wait and then take mine when I'm at full retirement age?
I love it, Eddie. Dee's jumping into some pretty advanced strategies here. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Yes, she is. Great question, Dee. Thanks for calling in. So you're exactly right. You are eligible for a survivor benefit beginning at age 60. You would take a reduction if you took it at age 60. So your full retirement age is age 67. If you took it at age 60, you would be subject to a 28.5% reduction. But what you just asked is exactly what you could do. You could take the survivor at age 60. You could delay your own until age 70. And what that does is it allows your own benefit to receive those 8% per year delayed retirement credits. So for 3 years, you would get a 24% increase in your full retirement age benefit on your own record while also starting your survivor benefit. So it's what they call the barbell approach. You take it at the beginning when you're eligible, and then you switch to another benefit, which is a higher benefit at the end of those 10 years, which in your case would be age 70.
Very good. Dee, does that make sense?
That makes complete sense. I thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Let's dig into that a bit more, Eddie. So if I understand correctly, the survivor's benefits are not going to grow by delaying. So there's no reason not to take them. The only benefit that can grow is your own work record benefit. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes. Delayed retirement credits do not apply to survivor benefits. They only apply to your own benefits. So in her case, if she delayed her survivor benefit until age 70, she would have derived no benefit between 67 and 70, or no additional benefit by delaying.
Okay. And somebody who's listening who's saying, well, what happens if my spouse passes away? Can I get both if we're already getting both? Help them understand how that works.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're not able to double dip. So you're eligible to receive the higher of the two benefits, but not both. So if one spouse passes away, you have the option of choosing the survivor benefit, whatever your spouse was receiving or was eligible to receive. So let's say in that case that the husband passed away, having never drawn his benefit, the wife is still eligible to draw at whatever his date of death Social Security benefit amount was. And she can compare that with her own, but she has to take the higher of the two. She cannot take both.
Okay. And obviously, we've been talking about survivor's benefits. Compare that to spousal benefits, which is something different.
Yes. So spousal benefit is if your spouse is still alive or if you are divorced and that you were married at least 10 years. The spousal benefit is up to half of the working spouse's benefit. So if husband's been working, wife wants to draw a spousal benefit, it's equal to half of husband's full retirement age benefit.
Okay, but one key distinction there is your spouse, the working spouse, has to be receiving their benefit for you to get the spousal benefit, correct?
That is correct. I use the door illustration. Your spouse has to have walked through his or her door before you're eligible to draw off of his or her record to follow through in that door.
Oh, that's really helpful. Excellent. Eddie Holland here today of Blue Trust. We're talking Social Security. Dee will be coming your way. Michael, Susan, right after the break. We have room for your questions on Social Security as well. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back. So thankful you've joined us today for Faith and Finance Live. I'm Rob West. With me today, Eddie Holland. Eddie is a partner and a senior private wealth advisor at Blue Trust, that's formerly Ron Blue Trust, out of Greenville, South Carolina, one of the many offices of Blue Trust across the country. We're talking today about Social Security. All the lines are full, so if you're getting a busy signal, just continue to try. We'll get to as many questions as we can. In fact, let's go right back to the phones to Michigan. Beth, you'll be next up. Go right ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a follow-up question to the survivor benefit. So my ex-husband has been deceased for 8 years. We were married 23 years. I am not remarried. And I know I can't take both benefits, but what I'm wondering is, am I allowed to take what would be his benefit when I turn 62 and then switch to my own benefit when I hit full retirement age, which is 67?
Great question, Eddie.
Yes. So, Beth, you're exactly right. So because you were married at least 10 years and you have not remarried, then you are eligible to draw off of his record. Because he is deceased, it would be a survivor benefit, not a spousal benefit. So you could draw up to a 100% at your full retirement age of whatever he was drawing. Because you would take it earlier, you would be subject to a reduction on that survivor benefit. And then you could switch to your own at any point between then and age 70. Obviously, the later you draw it or the more you delay, the higher your benefit would be.
Is that helpful, Beth?
Even though my benefit is going to be significantly higher than what his will be.
Yes, it's the one of the few times in Social Security law where you're allowed to choose between benefits. So in your case, okay, you have the option of choosing a survivor or your own and then switching to the other one at a later point. So in your case, if you chose the survivor now, you could switch to your own at a later point. If you delayed past full retirement age, you'd receive those delayed retirement credits we've been talking about.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Beth. We appreciate your call. Just to circle back on that, Eddie, so with survivor's benefits, there can be a reduction based on the age that the survivor takes the benefit. Is that right?
That is correct. So if she's younger than her case, in best case, if she were younger than full retirement age and she started drawing a survivor benefit, she would be subject to a reduction. It's about 4.75% per year from whatever date you're drawing it to your full retirement age. But yes, she would be subject to a reduction.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for that. Let's go to Tenley Park, Illinois. Hi, Michael. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. My question is, I've got the form number right. It's SR-1099. And when I apply for disability, they told me that my disability would be offset by the amount that I would get each week from workers' comp. And now my CPA added that amount to my tax filing, and it became income and put me in a higher tax bracket so that I couldn't get my senior freeze. I'll be 67 in April.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a complicated situation here. Eddie, did you follow that?
I did, yes. And I will caveat this, Rob, by saying that I'm much more fluent in Social Security retirement benefits as opposed to Social Security disability. So I'm not sure if anyone on your team, Rob, would maybe be able to answer that question a little bit more accurately than I could. I could speculate, but I don't think that would benefit many people by me just speculating.
Yeah, very good. Michael, it's a great question, and I think because of the situation here, you probably need to get somebody who's a little bit more dialed in to your situation here because of the disability that's involved. Thank you, though, for calling today. We appreciate it. Sorry we couldn't give you more specific advice. Let's go to Indiana. Hi, Kathy. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. My question has to do with the windfall elimination provision. I'm 68. I retired about 10 years ago from an agency, government agency, that did not pay Social Security. How many years would it take me to work post-retirement to offset that windfall provision?
Yeah, Eddie?
Or is that even possible?
Well, and it could be, Kathy, and a lot is going to depend on how much you've paid into the system prior to working with the government. What I would recommend that you do is download your most recent Social Security statement. You can go to ssa.gov, ssa.gov, download your benefit records, what they call your statement. Your statement will have, or it should have, information regarding the windfall elimination provision listed on there. At that point, you'll know exactly what the reduction is going to be. And then what I would recommend you do is call the Social Security Administration and ask them, okay, based on this, is there an opportunity for me to work in outside of a government agency, earn enough to be able to offset some of the provision that's already being that's already affecting me.
Does that make sense, Kathy?
Windfall elimination. It does. They do not list the windfall elimination on the statement.
Okay. Yeah, that's unfortunate. That should have been something that they listed on there. So your best bet would be to. Okay. I'm sorry. Sorry that you're having to deal with that. I know that can be frustrating.
I think we lost Eddie there for a moment. Kathy, we do appreciate your call today very much. I know there's a lot of moving pieces here, and that windfall elimination is discouraging to some folks just because they have access often to a teacher's pension, and because of that, or a government pension in your case, their Social Security benefits are reduced. I think in your case, your best option is probably to get a face-to-face meeting with Social Security so you can get all of that sorted out. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for being with us on the program. Eddie Holland here today. We're talking Social Security on Faith and Finance Live. Looks like we have two lines open, 800-525-7000. Still a couple of segments ahead, so room for your questions if you want to call right now. Hey, let me also mention, as we head here toward the end of the month, just a couple of days left, this would be a really critical time for us to hear from you. We're a bit behind on our listener support this month, and so if you value the program, maybe you tune in regularly, you've been able to take away something that's been encouraging or helpful to you, we'd invite you to be a supporter of the ministry financially when you make a gift at faithfi.com. Just click give. This week in particular, it would be a huge blessing to us. Faithfi.com. Just click give. We'll be right back. This is Faith and Finance Live. I'm Rob West. With me today, Eddie Holland. We know you have questions on Social Security, so we thought we'd bring in the expert. Eddie is a partner at Blue Trust in Greenville, South Carolina. He teaches on the topic, and we're taking your calls and questions today, specifically on Social Security-related questions. Let's go. Oh, well, actually, Eddie, before we go back to the phones, we were talking about something that a lot of people aren't familiar with, although if they're a teacher or involved in a government pension, they maybe are familiar with something called the windfall elimination provision. There's something, though, that affects that related to the number of years you have on your work record. Explain that.
Yes. And so Kathy had asked a question, and I failed to mention that if she has substantial earnings of 30 or more years, the reduction is much less. So 30 years is really the banner that you're trying to hit. I surmised based on her comments, she was nowhere near that period of time. But if she had 30 or more years, the windfall elimination provision reduction is much less. The lower the number of years that you have, or the fewer number of years, the higher the reduction will be.
Got it. Yeah, that's very helpful. All right, let's go to New Mexico. Mike, go right ahead.
Yeah, I have a two-part question. Me and my wife have been married 27 years, and we both retired, and she should be getting half of my spousal retirement, if I'm correct. And the second part of the question, her ex-husband, which she was married to for 30 years, he worked till he was 70, and she was wondering if she could claim on his retirement instead of mine.
All right. What are your ages, Mike, you and your wife?
We're both 74.
Okay, got it. Eddie?
Yes. So, Mike, I'll answer the divorce question first, and then we'll circle back to the spousal. Because your wife remarried prior to the age of 60, she's not going to be eligible for a survivor benefit off of her ex-husband's record. My understanding is that you said that her ex-husband is still alive. So if that's the case, then yes, she would not be eligible for any benefit off of his record. Now, she could be eligible for a benefit off of your record. You mentioned that you're both 74. Spousal benefit is equal to half of your full retirement age benefit. But if your wife started drawing a spousal benefit prior to her full retirement age, then she would have been subject to a reduction. So that might be why your benefit is a little more than half of what she's receiving.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, we went to Social Security, but they never did explain it. They just said, no, this is what you get, but they never explained it.
Well, there you go. I'm glad we could clear that up for you, Mike. God bless you, my friend. And I won't tell your wife you said 25 before you said 27 years. That's just our little secret right here today. Hey, God bless you, buddy. Let's go to Chattanooga. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Hey, sure. I'm 62. My wife passed away 4 years ago, and I went to get spousal benefits, and they told me I'm making too much money to draw them. Is there a limit on how much I can make to draw her benefits?
Eddie?
Yes. So, Jeff, there is. Because you're younger than full retirement age, the threshold is $22,320. So because you're over that threshold, the survivor benefit would be reduced $1 for every $2 over that threshold. Now, the year in which you reach full retirement age, the threshold amount goes up to $59,520. The reduction amount goes down. It's a reduction of $1 for every $3 over that threshold. But because you are working and you are earning money, you would be subject to an earnings limit or an earnings test, either for your own benefit or for a survivor benefit.
Is that helpful, Jeff?
Okay. Well, one more question. I plan on working until full retirement. When I do get my full retirement Social Security, am I also allowed to take her benefits as well?
You have the option of choosing one or the other. So you could choose a survivor benefit off of her record when you reach full retirement age, and then you could switch to your own at age 70. You'd receive those 8% delayed retirement credits for 3 years, but you would not be able to take both. You'd have to take the higher of the two.
Oh, that's a big help. So I can make as much as I want at full retirement and still draw hers, though, correct? Till 70?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah, and so then you've got hers coming in and yours is continuing to grow, and then you could switch at that point and get that higher benefit based on your own record. Hey, Jeff, thanks for your call, sir. To Chicago, Harriet, go right ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, by the way.
Sure. Yeah.
Going back to the windfall elimination program, I am a government worker, and I kind of started later in my years. So I have about 40 credits, if that's the right terminology. Would I receive 100% of what's due me for Social Security? And I know you mentioned if I had substantial amounts of things for deferred here.
Sure.
What is substantial?
Yeah, go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, so there's actually a chart that Social Security produces that mentions what substantial earnings are each year. Now, you mentioned the 40 credits. That's to be eligible for your benefit at age 62. But in your case, because you've had a record with the government and you haven't paid into the Social Security system a significant length of time, then my guess is the windfall elimination provision is probably going to cut into your benefit quite substantially.
Hmm. But she will have that government pension, obviously, even though she's getting a lower Social Security benefit.
That is correct.
Yeah. Harriet, does that make sense? Did you have a follow-up question on that?
Yes. Well, I also been working part-time, so I have been paying into Social Security up until this year.
Yeah.
So does that have anything to do with it?
Yeah, go ahead, Eddie.
So, Rob, help me. She broke up on me. I didn't hear that part. Where, did she
yeah,
say
so she's just saying, listen,
Security?
I'm working part-time outside of my government job, paying into the system. Does that help me in any way? Because I do have FICA taxes that I paid into the system. So I think the question is, at what point does non-government work that's not subject to windfall elimination help to increase her benefits, if at all?
I see. Yeah, my guess is it's probably not going to be. If it's just part-time work, it may not be significant enough to offset some of the windfall elimination provision. So I would encourage her to go to the Social Security website, download the substantial earnings chart. It tells you or will tell her what the substantial earnings amount is per year, and then she would be able to surmise if she has enough earnings outside of the government program to be able to qualify for a more substantial Social Security benefit, not subject as much to the windfall elimination provision.
All right. And how does that substantial earnings table that you just referenced relate to the 30 years of covered employment that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah. So the 30 years is basically if you've met the substantial earnings. So I'll just give you an example. For 2024, the substantial earnings is 31,275. 2023, it was $29,700. So if she has 30 years of substantial earnings outside of the government program, then she's subject to a much smaller reduction amount.
Okay.
So it's depending on how much has she earned outside of the government program into Social Security for a significant period of time.
Yeah. And so for somebody who's just maybe working part time, hasn't been doing that all along the way, to your point, probably not enough there to offset it at all. And if so, maybe just a bit. So she really is going to be affected by the windfall elimination. Very good. And that's really clear, Eddie. Thank you. We're going to take a quick break. We're back with one more segment. I know we got a lot of questions. We'll get to as many as we can. Eddie Holland here today on Faith and Finance Live. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance Live, where God is our ultimate treasure. Money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes. I'm Rob West, Eddie Holland here today at Blue Trust. Eddie is a specialist in Social Security planning, and that's our topic today. Eddie, before we head back to the phones, you know, I mentioned a moment ago that 90% of not yet retired Americans plan to claim Social Security benefits before age 70, about 40% of those not waiting even until their normal retirement age. That could be because lack of education, just, you know, they're not knowledgeable about how the increases work. It could mean that they just need the money because they're ill-planned. But part of that is also due to just the concern around the Social Security Trust Fund and its viability. Speak to that for a moment.
Yes, you're exactly right. That has garnered quite a bit of national media attention the last several years. And so I think there's a misconception out there, Rob, that Social Security is going, quote unquote, bust at a certain point. What the national media is drawing attention to is what you just alluded to, is the trust fund. That trust fund is scheduled to potentially be exhausted in the year 2034 or 2035. That doesn't mean that Social Security benefits go away. What that essentially means is anybody that's currently paying into the system, that money will then be used to pay benefits to those receiving Social Security benefits. So based on the research that I've read and some of the reports, depending on which report you read, it's somewhere in the 70% range up to maybe 80% of benefits would be eligible to be paid from current workers paying into the system. So it's not as if everybody loses their benefit completely. It would be a reduction of somewhere between 20 and maybe 25 to 30%, which I don't anticipate happening to the degree that the national media wants you to believe. I think there are some things that could be implemented and changed to reduce the likelihood of that trust fund running out at the time it's predicted. And so I think some of that is maybe a little bit of a little bit overblown, if you will.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. I mean, bottom line is older citizens tend to vote in large numbers. No member of Congress is going to want to alienate likely voters by reducing their monthly income. So what are those levers they can pull? Well, they can raise the FICA taxes. They can push out full retirement age. They can change cost of living adjustments. I mean, there's a number of things they can do, and I suspect that's what we're going to see. The question is when that happens. But still, plenty of benefit and reason, I think, to delay if you can, so you get those guaranteed increases. All right, let's head back to the phones to Ohio. David, go ahead, sir.
Hey, this is David. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for your call.
So I was listening to you before about if I make more than what I made during paying into Social Security while I was employed and at one of those 35 years. So my question is, do I have to report that I made more, or is that automatic? Does that make
yeah,
sense
that's a,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a great question. How does that work, Mike? Eddie?
Yes. So, David, the way that works is as long as you are working for a company that's paying you a salary, that automatically gets reported to the IRS, and then the Social Security Administration grabs what the IRS receives as the reporting, and that you get credit for that salary. Now, you bring up a great point, David. We've met with clients before that have said, oh, I've made this much in my business, but I only reported this much. Well, unfortunately, you're only going to get credit for what you reported. So if you're self-employed and you made quite a bit of money, but you only reported a certain amount on your Schedule C, what's reported to the IRS on your tax return and what you're paying FICA taxes on is actually what you're going to get credit for. Your employer does that if you're employed, but if you're self-employed, it's whatever you report on your Schedule C or whatever tax return you're filing.
Yeah, very good. So is it the tax return that triggers it? Because Social Security knows what you're paying in FICA taxes. So do they compute that on their own or do they wait for the return to be filed?
Yeah, so Social Security, if you're working for an employer and somebody's withholding FICA taxes from your paycheck, then that goes directly to the Social Security Administration information, their database. Yeah. What I was referring to was more self-employed. If you're not on their radar with withholdings, then whatever you've filed on your tax return and pay FICA, as you mentioned earlier, both employer and employee, that's what they're going to base your Social Security benefit on.
And let's say the 12/31, December 31st comes, you definitely earned more than one of your high 35. How long would it take before you'd see that increase show up in your benefit check?
Yeah, so in theory, that would be reported the following year. So your W-2 reports your income based on the salary that you made for the employer. Social Security would adjust that the following tax year. So it's really almost a 2-year lag in the sense that you made the money in 2023. It got reported in 2024 on a W-2. So when your benefit gets adjusted in 2025, then when the benefit would kick in.
Oh, yeah. So as much as 2 years. Interesting. All right. To Chicago. Hey, Kevin. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is on the income that triggers adjustments in your benefits. Is that the income after deductions and whatnot, your net taxable income, or is that your actual gross income?
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. So he's referring to taking Social Security before full retirement age. There's a cap on what you can earn before your benefits are reduced. What specifically income is that, Eddie?
Yeah, so that's the W-2 income that you have reported from your employer. So it's not passive income, not rental income, but it is any income that you earn through your employer or self-employed income, which in that case would be net of deductions. So whatever your gross income is minus your self-employed deductions, that net income, so gross income minus deductions equals net income, that would be what your earnings limit would be if you're self-employed. If you're working for an employer, it's based on that W-2 taxable wages.
So it'd be the gross amount before standard deduction or other itemized deductions?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, Kevin, is that helpful?
So it's before any itemized deductions.
That's correct. If you're not self-employed.
Okay, W-2 income. Okay, I got you. Thank you very much.
Very good. Let's go to Pflugerville, Texas. Hi, Ray. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob, Eddie. My question is, I'm 63. I'm considering retiring, quitting working altogether, living on my 401k for the next 3 or 4 years up until I'm 67. And will my Social Security benefit change from the estimated amount at this point right now?
Eddie?
Yeah, great question, Ray. So your Social Security statement that you just downloaded, let's assume that you've just downloaded it, it would tell you what you're eligible for based on your current age, and then it projects what your benefit would be at full retirement age. That's assuming that you're maintaining the same level of income or salary from now until full retirement age. So in theory, that full retirement age benefit could be overstated a bit because it's assuming that you'll continue to work earning what you earned last year for the next 3 or 4 years until you reach your full retirement age.
Yeah. So you may have some lower earnings years, Ray, that are a part of your high 35 that they're not planning on you keeping because they think you're going to keep earning what you're earning this year for the next 4 years until full retirement age. So if we pull those out and drop back to some of those lower years, that could adjust your benefit down. So you may want to just connect with Social Security and have them reanalyze that. Will they do that for you, Eddie?
Yes, in theory, they do, but I definitely take the Reagan approach, Rob, and I trust, but I certainly verify.
All right, very good. I like that. Quickly to Ocala, Rick, I think you'll be our final caller, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. You just had a person on there talking about something similar, but I worked until full retirement age, and then I retired. I was retired for 2 years, and I've gone back. And I've been back for 2 years. Now, the 2 years that I've been back, I'm definitely making more money than I was when I retired. So when they calculated that high 35, it was a lot less money. And I know that they're supposed to recalculate that. But do I know when that happens other than just watching my check, or do they notify me, and does it happen? It all happens automatically, or how does all that work?
Yeah, great. Eddie?
Yeah, so Rick, in theory, that should happen automatically. My understanding is that happens on a calendar year basis. So when you receive your W-2, that gets reported to the IRS and Social Security, and then your benefit is, in theory, supposed to be adjusted. What I would recommend doing is, if you have not received an increase in benefits over the past 2 years with you working or returning to work, I would certainly contact the Social Security Administration, ask them for a detailed list of your earnings history to make sure that you're receiving credit for those worked years, and then ask them when you should expect to receive a higher benefit.
Yeah, but there is a lag, as we talked about a bit ago, which could be up to 2 years if he's replacing one of those high 35. Is that right?
Yeah, that's my understanding. I would love if someone has real life experience. My understanding is it's on a calendar year basis, so there could be up to a 2 year lag.
Yeah, very good. All right, Rick, hopefully that helps you, my friend. Thanks for being on the program. And then quickly to Florida, Michael, I know you want to know the max you can earn if you start taking benefits at 62. Is that right?
That, for my wife and myself, that would be correct.
All right. Yeah, will you give those numbers again for this year, Eddie?
Yes, I will. So if you're younger than full retirement age, the threshold is $22,320. If you go over that, the reduction is one for every $2. If it's the year you reach full retirement age, the threshold is $59,520, and the reduction is $1 for every $3 over that amount.
Okay. Now, it's important to know, Michael, that that reduction is temporary in the sense that it will continue until you reach full retirement age, but at that point, they will start to give it back to you, not in a lump sum, but in the form of a higher check that's probably spread out to your life expectancy. So you could imagine that that would take, could be 12 years or more before you're fully repaid for what was withheld. But that is the limit for those years up to, you know, your full retirement age. And again, there's that increase in that final year. Thanks for your call today. Wow, Eddie, we covered some ground today. Lots of calls, lots of great information. Really thankful for you, my friend, and for spending some time with us today. Can we have you back?
Oh, absolutely. I would love that.
All right, we'll do that. Appreciate it. That's Eddie Holland. He's a partner at Blue Trust in Greenville, South Carolina. He's been our guest today. Faith and Finance Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and Faith Fi. Thank you to Jim, Amy, Tahira, Gabby T, and the rest of the team here at Faith Fi. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.